27, 8-3, but there, in a little past midway in the page, there's two dots, one Iboy Luhu, and then there's a second Iboy Luhu. We're by the second one. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20 lines from the bottom of the page.
Are you in the second column, right, Rabbi? Or the first column?
First column. Okay, the Gemara said like this. Before we were discussing that by acquiring land, you can acquire tangible items, what's called Kinyan Agav. Through the land, you acquire the tangible items. So the Gemara asked a question like this. Sada b'mech, Iboilu, the question was asked. Sada b'mecher u'metaltelim b'matanum. What happens, I want to sell you land, but give you a gift, the tangible items. So it's really two different things. One's sale, one's gift. Now, can I, the Gemara is asking, by selling the land, and to include the metaltolin, the tangible items, does that mean even if it's a gift, it's also included? Or do they both have to be gifts or both sale? What happens if one's sale and one's a gift? Can I acquire one through the next? So the Gemara said, Mahu, what's the din? So Gemara says, Toshma, come, I'll prove it to you. In our Mishnah, we learned the din, that Rabbi Gamliel, the story, Rabbi Gamliel was traveling on a boat together with Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, and he realized that he didn't tithe, he didn't give ma'isa from the things in the house. So he said, is the shani osid lom lomud, the tenth that for the Levi that I'm giving, nosan li Yeshua, I'm giving as a gift to Rabbi Yeshua. Umekayme muskulei, and I'm renting him the place. Right. Now, what happened over, he didn't give him the place as a gift. He, basically, rental is a temporary sale. He's renting him the place, and meanwhile, he's giving him a gift of the grains. And yet it was good. So the Gemara says, Shema Minot's a valid proof that one could be a gift, one could be a sale, it doesn't matter. When you acquire land, you can automatically acquire the tangible items, even though it's two different type of transactions, so to speak, one sale, one's gift.
The ma'aser was a gift?
What is ma'aser?
No,
it's one of the matonis, one of the gifts. The Torah calls it, it's a matonis to the Levi.
What?
It's a gift. He's not selling it to him. You can give it to any Levi you want. You're giving it to this Levi. So this Levi, you're giving it to him as a gift. Then the Gemara has another question. I'll ask you another question. This is another very interesting concept. Until now, we're talking about the same person. The same person, by acquiring land, acquires the tangible items. What happens if I say to you like this? You acquire land. He acquires metaltolin. I want him to acquire the tangible items through this that you acquire the land. Can it work for two different people? By one person acquiring land, the other person acquires metaltolin. Now, what does this mean? There is a rule, you can acquire something for me. If it's good for me, you can acquire something for me, even if I don't even know about it. There's a rule in the Torah, you could do something good for somebody, even if the guy doesn't know about it. Okay? So what happens, you're walking in the street, you find something beautiful, something nice, yeah? And you pick it up and you say, you know what? I'm picking this up for my brother. Okay, so the din is, the brother acquires it. Because I could pick it up for him. If it's something bad, I can't do without his permission. But something good, you can do without somebody's permission. So now the question is like this. Reuven could acquire for Shimon. That's a given. But the question is, can Reuven acquire for Shimon, by Reuven acquiring land, can he acquire the tangible items for Shimon? She says, if the field is for one person and the tangible items are for somebody else, okay, does he acquire it or not? So the Gemara says, Tashma, come, I'll prove it to you. It says, the same Mishnah. What was the story? Rabbi Gamliel again is traveling on the boat. So the 10% mice he gave to Rabbi Yeshua. Then he had the 10% for the poor people. So he says, "Is the shani osel lomud, the tenth of produce I'm going to give for the poor people, Nosen Lakiva ben Yosef. I'm giving to Rabbi Kiva, Kerei Sheyizke Be'la'aniyim, that he should give it, acquire it for other people, U'mekayme Muskalei. And what did Rabbi Gamliel say to him? I'm renting you the place. So what's interesting over here? Rabbi Kiva is renting the place from Rabbi Gamliel, and through that, he's acquiring it for the other poor people. So he's doing one acquisition, and through that, he's acquiring it for the other poor people. So the Gemara says, my musker, what does it mean? Oh, so the Gemara answers, no. There's no proof from that din. Why? Because Rabbi Kiva's case was a different case. Because what did he say? According to one opinion, musker lemaiser. He says, he didn't lease to Rabbi Akiva. He's leasing it to the poor through Rabbi Akiva. But Gemara thought now, he's leasing Rabbi Akiva the place, and through that, Rabbi Akiva can acquire the grain for the poor people. So Gemara says, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. He didn't rent the place to Rabbi Akiva. He rented it to the poor people. And they're acquiring the food. So then it's the same person. It's not two different people. It's not Akiva, Rabbi Akiva acquiring the land and the poor people acquiring the food. The poor people are acquiring the land and the food.
What was Rabbi Akiva doing there?
He was their gabbai. He was in charge of it. I mean, you need somebody there. By the way, the Gemara answered something else. Shani, Rabbi Akiva, another answer. Shani Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is different. The Yada Niyam Hava. He was their treasurer. So he's their hand. In other words, Rabbi Akiva only represented the poor people. There was no Rabbi Akiva as an individual human being, as person A, acquiring the grain for person B. Rabbi Akiva is the extension of the poor people. So the poor people, through Rabbi Akiva, as acquiring the rental, plus the tangible items. So the Gemara says, we still don't have a proof, and the Gemara doesn't answer the question, by the way. The Gemara does not answer whether he did it or didn't, whether you could acquire it for two different people. That we don't know. The Gemara doesn't answer it.
But what's the halacha here? Is if it's meant for the poor, can that be given to the Rabbi Akiva?
Yes, because he was their treasurer.
But he did. He didn't.
He did. He acquired it for them.
No, but what I'm saying, he didn't give it to Rabbi Akiva. He gave it to the poor people
through Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva represents. Yeah, he gave it to Rabbi because he was on the boat with him. He gave it to Rabbi Akiva as the representative of the poor person. So the Gemara initially thought it's two different people. Rabbi Akiva is one person, poor people another person. So the Gemara says no. He leased it to the poor people through Rabbi Akiva. He was like, it's just the same person. What would be the din if I do different people? We don't know. The Gemara Taka doesn't say. The Gemara doesn't say. Now, Amar Rava, Rava says another din. Okay, Rava says like this. Lo Shanu, the din. Okay, we said before, this is going back to the whole din of called Agav. Agav means, by acquiring land, I acquire the tangible item. Correct? Now, do you have to pay for the tangible item or not? To acquire it. Yeah, but he didn't pick up the tangible item. He's acquiring the tangible items through the land. Right? Now, normally, Mefarshim, the commentary say like this. If I want to sell something to you, and I say to you, pick it up, and you pick it up, you acquire it even if you didn't pay. Okay? You owe him the money, but it's yours. The deal is a deal, finished deal, you can't change your mind. It stays as is. But this kinyan is really a weak type of a kinyan, because you're not actually picking up the tangible items. You're not doing anything to the tangible items. By acquiring the land, through that you acquire the tangible items. So Rava comes along and says a statement. In that case, in order to acquire the tangible items, you need to pay for it. completely. Then agav works. But why? Because the Gemara Rava says the assumption is because it's not such a powerful acquisition. It's through this you get this. The owner doesn't really mean to give it away, sell it, until you pay for it. That's what Rav is saying over here. I'm missing your second half.
I think he was too tired tonight.
One second. Amar Rava, Rava says like this. Leishanu, the whole din of agav, that this, by acquiring the land you acquire the object, is only shenosan de meikulam when you gave the money for all of it. For the whole metaltolim, for the tangible items. Avalinosan de meikulam, if you didn't pay for the whole thing, leikana ela keneged ma'esav, you only gain of the metaltolim, of the tangible item, what you paid for. So in other words, let's say the scenario is, I'm giving you land, I'm selling you land, obviously it's not a gift. If you're talking about a gift, then there's no money, right? I'm selling you two things, land and tangible items, okay? And I say to you, acquire the land, and through the land, you can acquire the tangible items. Let's say the tangible items are $100, and you only paid $50. So Rava says you only acquire $50 of the tangible item, of the metaltolin. You don't get all of it. The amount you pay, that's what you get. You pay $100, you get it all. You pay $50, you get 50. You pay $25, you get a quarter.
But it wasn't stipulated. He just said he'd take it.
Right. He says I'm selling it to you. So Rava says, obviously, anytime there's a stipulation, if the guy says clearly, I want you to acquire it through the land with no money, no money down, he acquires it. He didn't say anything here. He says, I'm selling you the land and the metaltolin, yeah, and the tangible. And he doesn't say anything. When the guy makes a kinyan, he acquires the land, Rava says, by definition, because there was no stipulation, you don't get the monetary objects, only what you paid for.
But they have to talk about the amount of sale.
Obviously, he knows the price. Right, whatever. And he says, Tanya Kavasi de Rava. Rava's, the Gemara says, I'll even prove, a Braisa proves Rava's din. What does the Braisa say? Something like this. Yafa Kerech HaKesef Mikerech HaShtar. V'Kerech HaShtar Mikerech HaKesef. Gemara says there are different acquisitions, right? We learned before. There's money, there's document, there's doing something to the property, right? So the Gemara says, there's an advantage of money over document in the acquisition, and there's an advantage of document over money. And the Braisa explains. Yafa Kaya HaKesef, where do you see the power of money over document? Shakesef paid them by Hegdish Umaisa Sheni. Money can redeem things that were consecrated to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? If somebody gave a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, and the object becomes holy. Right? So, Hegdash doesn't need it, necessarily. So what do? They sell it. When you sell it, you redeem it. So then the money goes to the Beis HaMikdash, and the object is not holy anymore. Because you're not allowed to use any objects of the Beis HaMikdash. If you use, even by accident, an object that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash for personal use, you have to pay principal, additional fifth, and you have to bring a carbon. It's called Mayol Ben Me'ila, Karbon Sham Me'ilas. The Torah says, if some by mistake, if this thing, let's say, belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, and I didn't know, somebody donated this cup to the Beis HaMikdash, I didn't know, and I'm drinking from it. The din is, I have to pay the principal, plus a fifth, plus I have to bring a sacrifice. Okay? So, how does this cup become unholy? If they go to heck, they say, this cup's a dollar, here's a dollar. So the money becomes holy, and this becomes non-holy. So it's usable for everybody. Right? So the din is, money has the power to exchange things from the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Then the Gemara says, there's another din called Maisa Sheni. There's a din, four times in six years, you have to take after you give the Levi 10%, then you have Maisa Sheni. What's Maisa Sheni? You take 10% of your crop. It's yours, but you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. Okay, you have to take it up to Yerushalayim and eat it there. Then the Torah says, what happens if it's too much? Too much. You can't stop a trailer load of horse and buggy to Yerushalayim. So the Torah says, you redeem it for money. I take the money to Yerushalayim and I have to spend it in Yerushalayim. Okay? So you see, money has a certain power to it. It could redeem Hegdish, things that belong to the Beis HaMikdash. It could redeem Maisa Sheni. And then it says, Mash'enkin Shtar, documents can't. You can't redeem Hegdish by writing a document, like an IOU note to the, it doesn't work. So that's where money is better than document. Then he says, Yafa Kerech Hashtar, and we find advantages in a document over money. Where? Shashtar Meitzi Bas Yisrael, a document divorces a woman, give her a get, she's divorced. Mash'enkin Kesef, money can't. Right? You want to divorce your wife, you have to pay her off well. But I'm saying you want to divorce your wife, you can't just give her money to get out. Right? You need to give her a get to get out. Right? As the pun goes. You need to give her a get. So the Braisa says the following then. There's an acquisition of money, there's an acquisition of document. Okay? Certain times money is better than document. Certain times document is better than money. You want to acquire Hegdish, redeem it, you do it with money. You want to redeem Maisa Sheni, you do it with money. You want to give a get, then you need a document. So each one has its advantages that they're doing. And then it says like this, V'yofa k'yach sh'neim k'yach chazaka. And money and document is better than chazaka. What is chazaka? We learned, you do something in a field. Remember we learned before, you can acquire a field with kesef shtar or chazaka. Money, document, giving over the deed, or chazaka. What does chazaka mean? You do something in the property that shows a sign of ownership. You build a wall, you build something on the land, that's a sign of ownership. So chazaka is actually a form of acquisition. If I'm selling you an acre of land, okay, so it could be acquired one of three ways. Either you give me the money for it, or you write a document, I'm giving you the land or selling you the land, or I'm the seller, I tell you, go to the field and make a chazaka. You put a fence around it, you do something that shows ownership. So it says, money and document is better than chazaka. Why? And chazaka is better than both. So it says all the way at the bottom of the page, Yofa Kerech Shneim, money is better than chazaka, Sheshneim Keinem Eved Ivri, money and document can acquire a Jewish slave. How do you acquire a Jewish slave? Buy him. Or a document. Mash'enkin chazaka, chazaka does not acquire an Eved. If I want to give you my Eved, I have a slave and I want to sell it to you, and I said to you, you know how to acquire it? Let him work for you. That's not an acquisition. Money is, document is, but chazaka isn't. V'yofa k'yach chazaka, and chazaka is better than money or document. Shechazaka machalei eses sodis be'esem medinas. If I sell you 10 pieces of land in 10 countries, kiven shehichzik ba'achad mehem, when you make a kinyan, when you do chazaka in one of them, you acquire all 10. Let's say I'm doing a massive real estate deal with you. Okay? By the way, in those days, 10 countries, each country was probably a square block. I don't know. It was nothing like today. I tell you like this. I'm selling you land in America and Mexico, Canada, whatever, 10 countries, yeah? And I say, go make a chazaka. You make a chazaka, you build a fence in one land, you get all 10. By money, it doesn't work like that. He says, Masha'en kein, b'medvarim amurim though. Okay, how do you acquire all 10 fields when shenasen demei kulan? If you paid for all 10 fields, avo leinasen le demei If you didn't, then like kana ala kenegin ma'isiv, you only acquire what you paid for. Okay? Now, what do you see from this? This is a proof to Rava's din. Rava said a din that when you want to acquire something with agav, land, and metaltolin, right, you need to pay for the metaltolin. Otherwise, the acquisition of the land is no good, only what you paid for. Okay? Where do we see a proof to from this din? What does this b'risa say? I'm selling you 10 lands, and you're going to make a chazak in one land. What does the b'risa say? You only acquire the lands that you paid for. Right? You only paid for one land, you're only going to get one land. Right? Because each land is separate. The same thing in Rava's din, the land and the metaltolin is two separate things. Just like land in 10 countries, you need to pay for all the pieces of land to get them, and if not, you only get what you paid for. So the same thing is by agav. You are acquiring tangible items through acquiring land. Right? So it's like two separate things. And what does the b'risa say? When there's two separate things, like lands in 10 different countries, what you pay for is what you get. What you don't pay for is what you don't get.
So is it saying that by paying for the land, you're not getting the metaltolin?
Correct.
Can we equate metaltolin to the land? I mean, you're saying the land, if you want...
But the Gemara is equating... In fact, the Gemara is going to... We're not done yet with the Gemara. Okay. Because it's not everybody agrees with this concept. Meanwhile, the way the Gemara is learning now, 10 lands in 10 different countries is 10 different things. Okay? Now, what does the b'risa say? When you're acquiring one by making a fence around it, right, in order to get the other 9, you need to pay for them. Why? Because it's separate. The same thing, the Gemara is proving Rava. Rava says, you want to acquire land, through the land you want to acquire money. I mean, tangible items. That's two separate things. Right? From the b'risa you just see that when you want to acquire different things, you have to pay for it. And one kinyan and one thing is not going to help you for a kinyan that other makes. Tesis over here asks a very simple question. We know that you acquire land with money. See, if the guys are paying for all 10 pieces of property, why does he need to make a chazaka? The guy don't make a chazaka in one land, and then you acquire all the other 9. And then the Gemara said, but you got to pay for them. So if you're paying for them, that's the way you acquire land, is by paying money. So Taisa's answer speaks in a community where they made up, you don't acquire land with money.
Oh.
If people make up, then that's why it's made up.
Maybe they intend
to have tangible items to be part of it.
Huh?
But doesn't it state in the Shtar, the document that we have...
Or Taisa says another interesting thing. One second. Taisa's answer is another interesting answer. The guy didn't give him the money. The guy owed him the money from before. And he says, acquire the land... By making a chazak in one land, acquire all the other 9. So he's not giving any money now to acquire it. It's money that he lent him. Okay, he says, that money that I lent you, that should be the payment. So then the Gemara says, you only get the amount that you paid.
Isn't that like Kedushin?
Yeah, the Taisa says, exactly like Kedushin.
The money that you owe me...
That's not a good Kedushin, because right now you're not giving her anything. So Taisus answers these two answers on the Gemara.
But if you pay for a land, you don't need to make a chazak.
Right.
That was
right.
For a specific...
No, in normal Gemara halacha is... how did Avram get Maris HaMachpelah? Avram bought Maris HaMachpelah from Ephron. How did he acquire it? He paid money for it. That's how we learn out. You acquire land with money. What did the Torah say? How did Avram Avinu get the cave? He paid for it. So obviously he acquired it. So you see from there that Torah says money acquires land.
No,
but
you need to pay and do
chazakah.
No.
Well, how do you prove it later? If you only pay money and walk away?
No, there's two different things. There's the acquisition, and then later on you need a proof. So that you can have a document. But the acquisition has nothing to do with the document. You want a proof, so that's a good idea to have a document. But the document then is for proof. The document is not as a form of acquisition. But if you want to acquire land with a shtar, with a document, then the document is the acquisition. So when you acquire land, you could do it with money, or... But the Gemara is saying, the Braisa says, but meanwhile, we don't know, because there's kind of coming up different opinions in this. But right now the Gemara says, you want to acquire 10 pieces of land through Chazakah, the land that you Chazakah'd, that you get. And the other 9, only what you get, what you pay is what you're going to get.
But Chazakah is again, you mentioned that Chazakah is only applicable to the land that set up as a rule?
No, the Torah says you acquire land by doing a sign of ownership in the land.
And you said, okay, so we know that money acquires land.
Also. You can acquire one of three ways.
Also,
money, document, or if I write a document, I'm selling you this land. Mm-hmm. I'm giving you a gift, this land.
Yeah.
And I give it to you, acquire the land.
Okay, so there's three ways of acquiring.
Three ways of acquiring land. You can't acquire tangible items with a document, though.
So once again, the Chazakah...
If I write on the document, I'm giving you this table. I write on the document. Take a piece of paper. All right, I'm giving you this table. And I give you the document. You didn't get the table.
It's not a Chazakah.
It's nothing. It's a document. Document doesn't work for tangible items.
Pick it up.
Drag it.
So land works the same way. If you're going to do Chazakah, you have to put a defense on one of them.
Yeah.
But you won't acquire the other ones.
No, the din is by acquiring one, you acquire all 10 if you paid for them.
That is the din. Oh, I see. Okay. If you did pay for them.
If you paid for them.
Okay.
In fact, as you mentioned, you can have $1 million property. Okay? And I give you $1. You say, I want to buy from you $1 million property, right? And I give you $1 as a kinyan. Now, obviously, I still owe you $999,000. But the bottom line is, the kinyan was done.
Is that sold?
It's sold.
Even if
I owe you $900,999.99.
But the guy could take it back if he doesn't pay the money, right?
No.
Oh, really? So it's
I mean, you could. Well, either Beis Din can force you to pay for it. Or to give it back, because as the debt, you pay back a debt, but the land is yours.
I see. So legally, it is even from the
dollar. Yeah, and the rest becomes a loan.
I wish we had.
Yeah.
I wish we had down payment systems like this.
What?
There is a
dollar. Like a dollar down, get a house called dollar down.
No, people rent property for $1 a year. I mean, whatever.
But you can find one.
Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Misayle l'shmol, this is also a proof to Shmuel's din. Now Shmuel's saying a din we just learned. Dama Shmuel, mochale yasasadis besamedines, if somebody sold somebody 10 lands in 10 different countries, kivin shehechzik ba'achas mayam, once he acquired, made a chazak in one, right? Konez kulam he acquired in them all, like we just said in the Braisa. But the Braisa added you have to pay for them. Shmuel doesn't say that yet. Amar Ravacha b'rei Ravika, the Ravacha, the son of Ravika, wants to prove Shmuel's din from another din. He says, "Tate, I'll prove it to you." She'ilu masalei esed behemis ba'afzer achas. What happens? Now remember, we learned before in the Mishnah, how do you acquire land? How do you acquire animals? Pull it. If it's a small animal, pick it up. Or, if I give over the reins. Mesira. We learned before, if you give over the reins, you acquire the animal. So now the Gemara says like this. What happens? There's 10 animals tied together. And along train. Okay? One animal's tied to the next. And I'm selling you 10 animals. So there's a din that if I give over the reins of the front animal, you get all 10 animals. Okay? So Rav Acha b'Reid Ravika says that's seemingly Shmuel's din. Shmuel said you make a chazak in one land, you acquire all 10 lands, even if they're in different countries. So he says, I'll show you a similar din. You want to acquire 10 animals that are tied together, by giving over the reins of the front animal, you get them all. And he says like this, Teda Shila Mosali Hasibemis Bafsir Achas, if you give over 10 animals to a buyer, with one halter, meaning one tight thing, for Amalei Kanei, and you say to him, acquire them, Miloi Kani, doesn't he acquire it? Of course he acquires all animals. Yeah? So the Gemara is going to say, no, what's the connection? Over there by the animals you get them, and by the land you don't. You know why? The animals is one tied. They're tied. They're connected. Here the lands are in 10 different countries. The Gemara says, me dummy, what's the similarity? Over there all the animals are joined together. So when he holds one animal, he's holding all 10. Hacha ain't a good to be other. Here, the guy's not holding 10 pieces of property. It's in 10 different countries. So how do you compare this case where they're all tied together? You hold one, you hold them all, and over there, 10 different countries. So the Gemara says, Ikadamri, there's another version of the story. A different halacha. He says, Amir avachu b'reid ravika teida d'loi kani. I'll disagree with Shmuel's din. Shmuel says you get one cut land, you get them all 10. I'll show you that Shmuel's wrong. And right away Taisa says, obviously he didn't know the Braisa, because the Braisa said before it is good. He didn't know that Braisa, that if you acquire one land, you get all 9. Or all 10. He said, I'll prove that Shmuel's wrong. So he says like this, if it were to hand over 10 animals tied together, and he said, Kani, Mikani, would he acquire the other animals? Of course he wouldn't. This is a different version. There's two versions in the Gemara, what he said. One version, the first version, he said, of course he acquired the 10. So it's a proof to Shmuel. Here he says the opposite. You have 10 animals tied up. You acquire one of them. You think you acquire all of them? Of course not. So then if you acquire one land, for sure you don't get all 9 lands.
That's quite a difference.
Yeah. But the Gemara says a very interesting answer, though. The Gemara says the land is better than the animal case. The Mamash is the opposite of what we just said. And the Gemara says like this, you know why by the animals you acquire one, you don't get the other 9? Because each animal is a different body. Here the Gemara says a very, very famous expression, Hocha sadna da'ara chadu. The mass of the earth is one. He says like that, by animals, each one is a different animal. Land, the whole world is land. And therefore, they're all connected. And therefore, by acquiring one land, you acquire all lands. This is a very interesting expression of the Gemara. The Gemara's expression of sadna da'ara chadhu is usually, you know, they use this expression, people all over the world are the same. They quote this Gemara to say, no matter where you are, people are the same. What's the expression? Sadna da'ara, the mass of the earth is one. But here the Gemara is using it in a different way. Here the Gemara is saying that Shmuel holds, or the Braisa holds, that by acquiring one land, you get all the other 9, either in different countries, because the land is one land. By animals, maybe not. Maybe you acquire the first animal, but not the other 9, because each body is different. Maybe you need to acquire each animal individually.
Did you say these animals are tied together?
Tied together.
If you pull the front one, the rest of them will go with it?
So what? But they're still separate animals.
You're pulling all of them.
No, you didn't pull them, though. You just handed over the reins of the front animal. You're right. If you schlepped all that 10 animals, then he acquired them for schlepping, by pulling them. Here he's acquiring it, not by schlepping it. He gave over the reins. So the reins, the Gemara says, could, according to this version, could only acquire something for that body, not for the next body.
I'm sorry to ask this question, but I thought...
Don't be sorry.
Oh, but by just taking the reins, though, I thought that this is not even considered acquiring anything by just taking the reins.
No. By animal, we learned before in the Mishnah, the behemoth is kind of a mesira. If you give over the reins, it's a sign of acquisition. In other words, as we learned before, one major thing must be kept in mind. When we're talking about acquisitions, kinyonim, a lot is dependent on the intent of people. Okay? What do people think, or what is in their mind changing ownership? Okay, a lot of things we learn obviously from Chumash. Chumash said this is, you know, this is good. But a lot depends on what's people's intent. If I give you over the reins, what do I mean by that? So the Gemara says, it means I'm giving you ownership. I don't expect you to pick up the horse. Okay? I give over the reins. That's a sign. I'm giving the marshal. Even, you know, you sell a house, you sell a car. Okay? You know, there's a concept, I'm giving you over the keys. Giving over the keys to an apartment is like the final deal. Right? Are you giving over the key? What's the key? Because in a person's mind, giving over the keys means I'm giving the ownership over to you. That's what it means. So, if that's what is meant by it, then when a person does it, that means he's removing his ownership and giving it to you. So like the Gemara is discussing, a lot of these are also dependent on so to speak, the seichel, the intellect of it. What do people mean when they do certain things? Do they mean to give over ownership? Don't they mean? So like the Gemara said, in the Braise, if there's 10 countries, I mean 10 lands in 10 different countries, right? And I want to give it to you. And I tell you make a kinyan in one, the Gemara says, in my mind, I'm expecting the money for the others. And until I get the money for the others, I'm not interested in selling it to you. And obviously that then only applies to selling. Because if it applies to a gift, I'm giving you 10 lands, you acquire one, of course you acquire one, but I'm not waiting for money, I'm not expecting money. So then you would get it just by acquiring one land. That's what the... Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Now the Gemara is going into back into the Mishnah. For like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines in the top of the page. 13 lines in the top. The Mishnah also said, Zeikikin es anachosa means... Now, normally, let me explain this thing again. Normally, you don't swear on land. We learned it out from a pasuk in the Chumash. You don't swear on land, you swear only on tangible items. Okay? If I say, you owe me $100, you say, no, I owe you 50, there's a biblical oath. Okay, you have to swear biblically. Maidim mixes is called. I say you owe me $100. You say no, I don't. I have one witness that says you do. Two witnesses take the money, get the money out, right? One witness, the Torah says, obligates you to swear.
Who?
Huh?
Who has to swear?
The defendant.
The one who denies it.
In Torah, let me tell you something. Rarely in Torah law do you swear and take. In Torah law, swearing an oath gets you out of paying. If I say you owe me $100 and you say I owe you 50, so he swears that I only owe you 50 and he doesn't pay. I can't swear you owe me 100. Okay? Now for instance, then he has to pay. Because he's not doubting it. He said, I don't know. I know, you don't know. So, Bari Vishem, Bari Adil. I know. No, but for instance, the Gemara says, if I say you owe me $100, okay, and you deny it, you say, I don't even know who you are. I never borrowed money from you. I don't know you. I don't want to know you. I don't owe you $100. And I don't have any witness. Look, if I have two witnesses, you owe me the money, or a document that has two witnesses, you have to pay me the money, no question. If I don't have any witnesses, no proof, biblically, you do not owe me a cent. Why? I want to take money out from you. The burden of proof is on me. If I don't have any proof, it's logical. Right? I come to you, you owe me $100. I have to prove it, not you. Right? Okay. So, halacha is, you don't swear, you don't pay. The Chachamim came up, it's called Shvuas Hesis. The Chachamim say, there is a concept. Nobody demands money if there's something not there. So they gave him a rabbinic oath to deny it. Rabbinic. It's not the spooky biblical oath with a darkened room and the Sefer Torah and all that. You know, it's much less than that. No, the Gemara says used to make the spooky room when a guy had to swear a biblical oath. Because it's talking about saying God's name in vain. You know, it's the Ten Commandments. Okay, so Shavuos Hesis is called, is a rabbinic oath. Okay, what happens if I say like this, you owe me $100, and you deny it? I come to Bezin and say, Bezin, you know what? I'll swear that he holds me the $100. He can't do it. In Torah law, you don't swear and take. You swear and get out. Okay? There's a few exceptions to the case. Okay? There's a few exceptions to the case. When Beis Din doesn't allow the defendant to swear.
Why?
He's a known liar, swindler, ganav, thief. Ooh. Known.
Sure.
So Beis Din's not going to let him swear because he'll swear falsely. Mm-hmm. So over there, Beis Din says, really, you're supposed to swear. We don't let you. So this guy's going to swear and take. But that's like the Chachamim said, that's an exception to the rule. It's not the rule you're swearing and take. Really, that guy was supposed to swear to get out of taking, to get out of paying. But he can't. We don't let him. The guy says, I'll swear. But Beis Din doesn't let him because he's a liar. And we know already he lied. So Beis Din says, okay, we got no choice. We just don't want to give him the money because then everybody will go to every liar and say, you owe me $1,000. And the guy says, no, I don't. And then everybody will just take money from him. So the Chumza, you have to swear.
And yet at the same time, there is one witness in this situation.
No, if there's no witness. I'm saying this case that we're talking now, there's no witness.
There's no. So the swearing can work if there's no witness?
No. No, he could swear and get out of paying.
I mean that too.
Now what happens if there's one witness, then he has to swear anyway.
There's one witness
that he owes me the money.
To get out of it.
Right.
Because if it's two witnesses,
they collect the money.
I was thinking, what would be the case if the defender is an atheist?
Atheist?
Yeah.
No.
What would you do to him?
Pastor would make him swear anyway.
He won't care.
He has to swear. No, so then Bezin might not let him. Then Bezin might not let him swear.
Right,
they know.
Like
no, but there's another interesting case. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, it's called Chemini al Pinkasei, is also a weird case. The case is, I am a boss. Okay. He works for me. He works for me, so I have to pay $100. For what he worked. Okay? But I tell him, go to the storekeeper, he'll give you the $100. And I tell you to give him the $100. Okay? So I owe you $100, you're supposed to pay him the $100, and I'll give you back the $100. Right? It's a very simple case. Problem is, you come to me and say, you never got the money. You come to me and say you gave him the money. So you want money from me. You want money from me. Right? Because you're asking, you're saying you never got the money. Right? So therefore, I owe you $100 for what you worked. He comes to me and says, you owe me $100 because you gave him the money. Now, you say you never got it. He say I gave it. So technically, what should be done over here? I should swear to get out of paying. But you want, both of you want money from me. Correct? You ask me for $100. You say, I owe you $100. You say, I owe you $100. Now, normally what happens? Yeah, I have to swear that I don't.
But obviously, in this case, you can't.
But in this case, I can't swear. Right. Because I don't know what happened. Right. How can I swear? What am I supposed to swear? I don't know if you got the money. I don't know if you gave the money. I don't know what happened. Okay?
Because I don't know. And then you owe
it. No, so the din is, you swear that you never got the money. You swear that you gave him the money, and I got to pay both of you.
If they both swear.
So the question is, one of them is a for sure liar.
Right.
One of them is definitely swearing falsely.
Right.
Maybe he gave it to his brother.
That's not what he's saying. He's saying I gave it to him.
No, it kind of look alike.
It doesn't go like that. Identical twins, would he give it to him?
No, I mean, he's pretty sure he gave it. But really, he did not. I mean, he's pretty sure.
That's very interesting.
So the Mephashim Taisis, I mean, that's a big discussion. How could you do such a din? What's called Chavani up in Kosei, the Chavani with his ledger, when was somebody's for sure going to lie?
No, but here's the thing. If the guy gave it to the guy, really thinking it was him, and he's swearing that I did, and the guy...
Maybe to the wrong guy.
But this is a case, you know...
And the comes and says, you never gave it to me.
No, you know who he is, and I know who he is, and we know everybody, and everybody says what they did.
Still, the din is the same, obviously.
Right.
He's still alone.
Even though we know that one of them is going to lie.
Or I'll give you another case. I say... You owe me $100. Okay? I bring one witness that you owe me $100. Now, normally one witness cannot take out money. What does one witness do? He has to swear against the witness. Right? You have to swear that you don't owe me the money. And then the Torah says you're off the hook. What happens if you say, I don't know if I owe you the money?
Hey.
So, and I say you owe me $100. One witness says you owe me $100. Now, normally, one witness cannot extract money.
If he's doubting, there now is a difference.
He says, I don't know.
I don't know
if I owe you the money or not. Now, normally, you have to swear the opposite of what the witness testified. The witness says, yes, you owe him the money. You have to swear, no, I don't. Right? But you can't swear I don't owe you the money because you yourself think, I don't know. So you can't swear, I don't, if you don't know. So that was talacha. You have to pay. Because you can't swear.
So one witness wins.
It's not the one witness. The one witness makes you swear. The Torah says, if you can't swear, you pay. Because you can't swear. Not the witness. The witness obligated you to swear. Once you have to swear and you can't, then you have to pay. Or the classic, again, and we'll finish with this. There's a classic case in the Gemara, it's called Nascha D'Rabbah and Baba Basra. Very famous case. Okay? I go into your house and walk out with a silver goblet. So Nascha is a silver becher. Okay? It's a big silver Kiddush cup. You come running over to me. What, you steal my thing? You stole my Kiddush cup. I says, yeah, I took it, but it's mine, it's not yours. Okay? And you bring one witness that I took it. Now, technically, what do I have to do? I have to swear against the witness. But the witness didn't say you took it. I mean, the witness says you took it. What would you have to swear?
I didn't
take it. No! You have to swear the opposite of what the witness testified. The witness said you took it. Right? What do you have to swear? I didn't take it. But I can't swear I didn't take it because they said I took it. But it's mine.
The witness is useless.
No. Obviously. The witness is obligating me to swear.
Oh, I see.
And the problem is I can't. Why can't I swear?
You took it. You need to take it.
Because I can't swear I didn't take it. Because I'm afraid of telling you I did take it. I'm telling you I took it. But it's mine. So the din is you have to give back the cup. You have to pay for it.
Oh. And then take him to court to give you a fucking cup.
Ah, whatever.